One interesting way to understand how British classical economists really thought is to look at their voting behavior when they were in Parliament. From the time period spanning David Ricardo to John Stuart Mill, from the early to the midpoint of the 19th century, there are 55 members of Parliament who quite plausibly can be thought of as economists because they were economic writers. The list was put together by eminent historian of thought Frank W. Fetter, and it includes such prominent classical economists as David Ricardo, Thomas Attwood, Isaac Butt, Lord King, Richard Whately, Robert Torrens, and up through John Stuart Mill. These individuals are all serving in British Parliament, and you'll find many of them discussed in our other videos. The greatest number of economists serving in Parliament at any one point in time was 32, and that was during the Reform Parliament of 1833-35. And note that most economists who entered Parliament, they stayed there for quite a while, at least 10 years. One regularity we find in the data is that economist members of British Parliament voted more often than did non-economist members. We also find that economists in their voting behavior quite consistently opposed monopoly. For instance, when there was a vote on the repeal of the Navigation Acts, which gave certain monopoly privileges to British shipping, economists voted 10-1 to repeal the Navigation Acts. Throughout the 1820s and the 1830s, there were several votes taken on repealing the Corn Laws. These votes failed, but about two-thirds of the economists voted to repeal the Corn Laws and move to freer trade. The actual repeal of the Corn Laws in 1846 was supported by economists in Parliament by a margin of 12-2, again voting for freer trade. In general, economists in Parliament during these years, they favored lower taxes and lower government spending, and you don't find much evidence for what you might think of as early forms of Keynesian voting. When did the classical economists vote for more government? Well, in 1847, there was a vote held on more funds for Irish railroads. The economists there were split. Four of them were for this, and four of them were against it. When it came to issues of regulating working hours or regulating working conditions for labor, at the time the economists voting in Parliament had very much a mixed record. It seems there was at least an implicit understanding of natural monopoly issues, so when it came, for instance, to rail, water, and gas companies, quite frequently we find economists voting for some active government role in these areas. On political issues, economists almost unanimously supported various measures of parliamentary reform to make Parliament more democratic. In 1828, there was a vote held on whether you needed to accept the sacraments of the Anglican Church to advance further in British government. Economists wished to abolish these requirements by a vote of 13-3. In 1829, there was a vote, should Catholics be allowed to sit in Parliament? Economists supported this by a clear vote of 15-0. In general, the economists of this era are taking consistently cosmopolitan, anti-racist, and anti-prejudiced stands. In 1858, there was a vote on whether Jews should have full civil rights in Great Britain. The economists in Parliament supported this by a margin of 13-0. Finally, we find a consistent behavior pattern where economists are critical of state-established churches in England, but especially in Ireland, where most of the population is Catholic, but the state-established church is Protestant. Economists were skeptical of these subsidies and these monopoly privileges. All of the data in this article are drawn from an excellent piece by Frank W. Fetter. It's called The Influence of Economists in Parliament on British Legislation, from Ricardo to John Stuart Mill. It's online, but for some of you gated, it is available through JSTOR.